Okay, we're here on the Rock Your Relationships podcast. I'm Chuck Stokes. I'm here with my wife, Betsy. And we just recently saw the new Pixar movie, Inside Out, which I think does a great job illustrating a number of different ways in which we use and misuse our human emotions. Betsy, what were your initial impressions of the film?
Okay, well, my initial impression was that I had not brought enough tissues. That was clear early on when I leaned over to you and said, okay, I will be crying through this entire movie. And I also actually had a lot of gratitude in my heart because I feel like I've learned so much. And there's so much that I'm not passing on to my kids and that I'm not passing on to my husband as far as, you know, unhealthy emotional relationship stuff because I've learned and because people have invested in me. And so I had all that wrapped up in, in my tears. And I just, you know, hugged my son through the movie. Chuck was sitting next to our daughter and I was sitting next to my son. And so I asked him, are you crying? And he was just bewildered as to why I would even ask that question. He obviously was not crying.
Obviously what?
He was not crying.
I cried in some parts.
Yes. You kind of almost had to get some of the deeper stuff, I think.
Yeah,
I think adults will cry more than kids.
Totally. I think the film does a good job of being funny enough and having some simple ways to present complex ideas to kids. But people who, especially parents, I think will really be able to connect with this. Well, really anybody, because we've all had childhoods. And we've all had childhoods.
Yeah. We have it in common.
We have that in common. So we've got, everybody's got good memories and bad memories.
Right.
And different ways that we cope with hard things that happen to us from our childhood. So
yes,
it's very relatable in that sense.
Yeah, and I think it really meant a lot to us. Like Chuck and I kept looking at each other and saying, oh my gosh, this is such a good example of the kind of thing that we teach. So it was good, but I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to give anything away.
Well, I think without giving anything away, one thing we can talk about is that sadness is one of the emotions. There are five key emotions that are expressed in the film, and joy is one of them, and sadness is another. And they're kind of, you know, basic happy and sad. But in the film, there's kind of a problem initially with what do we do with sadness. And I think that's something where intimacy theory and some of the things that we've learned and really grown in our relationship is finding a place for sadness. Because I know for years, I thought the only thing to do with sadness was to try to get rid of it as soon as possible.
Right.
Like anytime I felt a negative emotion, well, I was somewhat comfortable with anger, but anytime I felt sadness, I wanted to sort of emotionally medicate that away. You know, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to stay in this. And so I didn't really have a place to put it except put it away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older and as we grew in our relationship, I found out that was actually a problem, that I didn't really know what to do with my sadness.
Yeah, because one of the major things that we teach is you have to make getting and staying close your first priority. So if your first priority is not feeling pain, then you're not going to be able to make the kind of connections that it takes in order to feel close to someone, and in order, like in a marriage, for instance, in order to grow in emotional closeness.
Exactly, because those are things that you really can't just bury them. Like when you feel that pain, you are going to process it in some way. You're going to deal with it somehow. And
going to deal with you.
Exactly. Deal with your emotions or it'll deal with you is one of the phrases that we heard a lot. And so there's more you can do with pain or sadness than just try to put it away. I mean, one of the negative things, so I said the way I dealt with sadness is I would try to let me get happy as soon as I can.
Right.
Let's not talk about this. Let me put, you know, the some people I remember were into when they felt sad, then they would listen to sad music. And I was just like, what are you doing? Like the emo music. I didn't get that at all. Like if I felt sadness, the first thing I wanted to do was put on some kind of happy, upbeat song.
Right.
I wanted to watch something that made me feel good. Usually for me, that would be like turning on sports or something like that.
You would watch old Clemson games where they defeated their arch rival.
That's right. I broke out.
Saved those and would put them on.
Vintage. VHS tapes of old great Clemson victories from the glory days.
Yes.
And that was one of the ways that I dealt with that sadness that when it came up.
Who needs to talk things out when you have vintage football clips?
But people deal with it in different ways. Some people, like that's how I dealt with it, but some people would stay in it in an unhealthy way, right? So,
totally.
I mean, it's not just, well, it's not the answer to try to sort of medicate
just
it away.
Right.
Just cheer up. But it's also not the answer to sort of think badly about yourself and get into self-condemnation.
Despair is, I think, what the church uses. I think that's the word in the catechism about kind of letting sadness get to where you're just stuck in it.
Say more about that, about how people can fall into despair and how that can be a real unhealthy coping mechanism.
Okay, well, it's easier to think about it in terms of anger. So if you think about anger, it's like a wall. You're putting up a wall so that you don't have to feel pain anymore. Well, despair is also kind of putting up a wall. It's like a numbness wall. It's like you don't have any hope anymore because you don't want to hope because you don't want your hopes to be dashed. And so when you're in despair, it is a coping mechanism. I mean, it's not like you're just being stupid. You're really trying to cope with your sadness. And I speak from experience because this is what I would tend to do, whereas Chuck would just be like, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. I would just be like, oh, this is where I am and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I'm just in this gray, cloudy place. But it was a coping mechanism as well. And when it begins, though, to color all your experiences, and when you begin to not have any hope, where you don't even ask, like you don't even pray anymore because you don't ask God for anything, and you don't reach out to people anymore because you just have this anticipation that they're going to fail you, and that when they fail you, because people do still fail you, when they fail you, that God is also going to fail you, and you will have nothing, then that is the despair that just kind of kills faith, and it kills love, because if you stop reaching out, you stop loving, and then, you know, that God is love, and so you're no longer living in grace, you're no longer living in the gospel.
Right. So something that I think is in common between the two unhealthy coping mechanisms, unhealthy ways of dealing with sadness that I hear in this discussion is my way of just sort of let me, you know, get happy, get cheered up as soon as I can, and the despair way, which both are really turning into yourself instead of turning toward other people.
Yeah. It's not
connecting.
In the midst
of that sadness, you're not making any connections.
No.
You're turning inward, whether it's, you know, trying to find some dark corner of your heart to shove that stuff and cheer up, or whether it's sort of wallowing in it or staying in it in an unhealthy way. Both of those turn inward instead of turning outward toward others.
Yeah. I want to mention real quick, you had just like thrown out the term medicate. You said not medicated away. And so I just want to make it clear for our listeners that we're not making any kind of statement on medication, because that's a completely different topic. We talk about healthy ways to relate, and medication might help you relate in these healthy ways.
Absolutely.
Right. Or it might not, but it's when we talk about medicate, we're just talking about like, you were talking about like kind of almost drugging yourself with just happy.
Right,
know,
like watching things. What some people might Netflix binge or something like that. But there are some people who need medication.
And then there
are other people who use other substances that are not prescribed that they shouldn't be using. We're not talking about any of that.
We are not getting into that. But basically, there's healthy and then there's less healthy. And usually you're just trying to numb. You know, you're trying to get out of the pain.
So if there's one concept that you will hear us come back to again and again about healthy relationships, it's that in those emotions, you don't want to be alone.
Right.
You may be able to handle all sorts of things in the world of school and work, but if you don't reach out and turn toward other people, you're missing something in your relationships.
Right. You're not connecting, and you're still alone.
Right.
And so we're going to talk some about that when we talk about the theology behind intimacy theory. But
about how it's not, God didn't make us to be alone. It's not good for a person to be alone.
I was just thinking about a moment in our past, in our marriage. We've been married we just celebrated 18 years. 18. sometimes we joke, say 18 wonderful years or about 16 and a half wonderful years. And the rest of it, we worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember when you really were wanting, when you were going to grad school and you were really waiting on some important news. And I remember you got a letter of rejection. And I remember when you opened it, we were together, and you read that it was, you know, a no. And I looked at your face and you like immediately like cheered yourself up. And I remember you saying, okay, okay, that's fine, that's fine. And I felt so distant from you at that minute. So it's like just the perfect picture of, I was so ready to mourn with you, you know, and to be sad together, because, you know, your dreams are my dreams, and we had just saw them be dashed. And because you cheered up, we really grew apart in that, you know, in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking like long term, but in
right.
that moment. And we could not talk about the rejection letter. It was like a topic we couldn't discuss because you hadn't mourned it yet. And then once we were able to sit down and talk about how disappointed we were, of course, everything really turned out super great.
Right.
Because God had better plans
but,
for us.
But that was a core memory. That
it was.
Was an opportunity.
It's a core memory. No spoilers.
To,
no spoilers.
If you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. But you get the idea.
But
that
core
was,
memory is a joyful one now because of what we learned from it, for me.
Because we've gone back and been able to reinterpret it. But
yeah.
in that moment, there was an opportunity for us to connect in a deep way and,
yes.
and to walk into this new phase of life that we were moving into more together than apart, and instead, in some ways, that began to set the tone
mm-hmm.
of, you know, this is a difficult time of life, and what am I going to do? I'm going to knuckle down, and I can handle this. I'm going to deal with this. Instead
right.
of reaching out to you, holding your hand, and walking into it together, it took
yeah.
us a little while to get to that place where it wasn't me dealing with
mm-hmm.
the difficulty of graduate school by just knuckling down and trying to push away sadness or disappointment or rejection or whatever those things were when they came. We're going to finish up, but we encourage those of you who have enjoyed Pixar movies in the past and want to catch a good flick that can help you get some good visual handles on your emotional life, Inside Out comes highly recommended from us.
Yes.
So take a look at it. If you see something in the movie that you think is interesting, you'd like for us to talk about, email us, hit us up on the website. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.